What's going on, everybody? Paul Hickey here with nooffseason.com. Welcome to Sports Card Strategy Show, episode 59. I've got my man Andy Kaysen from Football Card Quest with me today. He's the co-host today as Kendall McKee is unable to join us today. He's got some other obligations that he had to tend to. So I figured, you know what? Let me invite my main man, Andy Kaysen, to join me because it's NFL season. We're going down to the wire here. It's almost fantasy football playoff time. There's a lot of NFL playoff implication. And with that obviously comes some need for some NFL sports card talk. But before we welcome Andy in and jump into our show agenda today, I got a question for you guys. And it is, why vault your cards with the original marketplace? Because the eBay vault isn't just a way to protect what you collect. It's a new way to trade. Not only have your cards never been safer thanks to our secure climate-controlled facility, but you're also locking in real savings. You pay no sales tax when you ship to or transact within the vault, and there are no storage fees for 2 years. Now just imagine everything you can do with all that money. And with the eBay vault's seamless in-app experience, you can track, buy, and sell your cards in real time. From listing your cards on eBay in seconds with the eBay collection to tracking trends with eBay price guide, managing your collection is more seamless than ever before. The eBay vault, buy, sell, secure. So Andy Kaysen, welcome to the show, my man. Good to have you.
Glad to be here, Paul. Yeah, man, excited to be here. Holiday season, but the NFL season is also getting very intense as we get closer to the playoffs, which makes some very exciting waves in the football card market.
Yeah, definitely. It's going to be an NFL heavy show today. We're going to go through, at least I'm going to have my L of the week, my W of the week, my buy and sell of the week. Andy, if you have any of those, feel free to jump in. We'll go through them one by one. Let the audience know all of that great info. And then after that, we'll just talk NFL. I got some questions from the audience in preparation for today's show. And then, of course, ask us your questions in the comments and we'll get to them. We are recording a little bit earlier than normal Eastern time today. So we understand if those of you who are normally up and ready to go and ask questions, we understand if you're not. But drop something in the comments. We'll reply to it, even if you're not watching live. And if you're listening on Apple or Spotify, you can always find us on YouTube, youtube.com/Paul Hickey. Ask a question on the video or tweet at me at nooffseasoncard. I'll loop Andy in on the reply and we'll get your questions answered, especially if it's NFL related. And if it's baseball or soccer related, I'll loop Kendall in on the reply. We'll get him answering even though he's not on the show today. So, hey, Andy, I'm going to jump right into my L of the week, man. And this one's dedicated to you, my friend. You may have seen this in the intro, but you beat me. I was 11-0, and then in week 12, you beat me in the card content creator bowl that you set up. I'm having a blast playing in that league, and you took me down by about 9 points. So kudos to you. That's my L of the week. Even though I did come back and beat Lou Janu this week in week 13 by a solid margin of 51 points. So. But my L of the week is dedicated to Andy Kaysen of Football Card Quest knocking me off. I was undefeated 11-0 and he gave me my first loss of the season. So good work out of you there, my friend.
You know, I've got to thank Mike White, you know, shout out to Mike White and my super flex. You know, that was my big point score from last week on my roster. So, you know, things worked out.
Yeah, we may or may not talk Mike White cards today. We'll see. We'll see what Andy has in store for us. And then my other L of the week, card-related L of the week, I will say that I sold some autographed soccer cards this week, hoping that the Spanish national team would follow up on their 7-goal performance against Costa Rica. They actually didn't do too well at the end of the group stage. They made it through to the round of 16, but they didn't do too well towards the end of the group stage. So I actually lost some money a Pedri Chrome Auto PSA 9 from 2021, Topps Chrome, and an Ansu Fati, a really cool Ansu Fati PSA 9 Obsidian Patch Auto out of 75 from 2021 Obsidian. So both of those guys have really cool looking autographs. The buyer of these items, I think, got a great deal. I sold the, both of them for $143 combined. I think I bought them raw at the National for, I want to say, just a little bit over that combined. And then I had them graded at PSA at the $15 per card level. So it was a slight loss for me on the overall sale. But, that kind of stuff happens. So wanted to share my personal loss of the week and then my card-related loss of the week. Andy, do you have an L of the week that you want to share with the audience?
L of the week. Trying to think. Didn't really in the card sense. No, I didn't really have an L this week. I had a couple L's in daily fantasy, but nothing really in the card world. I sold a nice Justin Jefferson, a decent card Justin Jefferson over the weekend for a nice little profit, and a Zay Jones, but. Yeah, I didn't really have a card L of the week per se.
Okay, well that's good. Well, what happened in daily fantasy? Just at a high level, what you don't have to get into detail if you don't want to. But what was your L of the week in daily fantasy?
Yeah, so I had a few lineups going. I would say though, targeting those game stacks like KC, Cincinnati, Miami, San Francisco, and Philadelphia and Tennessee. And I nailed the Philadelphia, Tennessee. That was my best roster. The Jalen Hurts stack where I paired Jalen Hurts with AJ Brown and Devontae Smith, but I brought it back with Derrick Henry and Treylon Burks. And Treylon Burks left the game early and Derrick Henry put up a dud because they were in a negative game script that whole game. So I was close in that roster. But if I would have just done a no bring back, so I think that's a critical kind of takeaway. You don't always have to do a bring back. It can be one sided. Like that game was one sided for the most part. And so that was my, cause it was so close. And if I would have just, put in like I could have had the money to put in like a Devontae Adams, maybe, or pivoted and gone, Josh Jacobs, who's constantly like seemingly put up a ton of fantasy points on a weekly basis, or Amon Ross St. Brown, guys like that. And so it was close, but that was, that was an L in a sense, and it was close.
Yeah. Yeah. That game script, you can go a little overboard for sure. I know, but it's tempting because if you feel strongly about the way that a game's going to go, in theory, it should, if you're right, in theory, you should be right on everything, but that's not always the case. So interesting. Good takeaway there for the audience. If any of you play DFS, we'd love to hear your DFS stories. It's closely related actually to football cards because, whenever we talk about football cards, we do during the season, we always make the point that changes on a weekly basis. So I think it's actually a lot like DFS, although DFS, you don't have to be holding the cards literally to make the money on it or lose the money on it. But that's interesting. So actually, before we move on to the W's of the week, talk about Deshaun Watson really quickly in terms of, that seemed like an L of the week just from a overall performance perspective. He was somebody that we talked about off and on. There were several different, he was obviously in the news. He's been in the news cycle for all of the wrong reasons, dating back a couple years ago. Although, with his contract and coming on board with the Cleveland Browns, there was a lot of some hype cycles around him. So now that he's actually hit the field, what are you seeing not only with him and his individual performance, but what are you seeing with his cards and what do you think his future looks like in Cleveland?
Well, there was some hyper-relevancy. So heading into that game, you know, you had polarizing opinions. Some people thought he was going to be super rusty. Other people thought he was going to go out and melt faces and get back to where he left off, especially against his old team. And that didn't happen. He completed just 12 passes, and the Browns like really won this game based on their special teams, their non-offensive touchdowns. There's a big spotlight on Donovan Peoples-Jones. That was probably kind of like the highlight of the Browns offense. That and Kareem Hunt, he made a significant impact yesterday. He turned 9 carries into 56 yards and added 18 yards on 2 catches. But Deshaun Watson had a really lousy first outing. And I don't know, he seemed very lackluster out there. Like he didn't look very competitive. I think the Browns season as a whole is pretty much winding down. They're very much a long shot, if any, to get in the playoffs at this point, just a 6% chance to make the playoffs. And, you know, just totally dominated by Cincinnati and Baltimore in that division. And you could probably even say that Pittsburgh is, you know, they're right there. So you could probably argue that Pittsburgh will beat them as well. But I mean, it's going to be interesting. I think it's going to take him a little while to knock off this rust. And it'll be really interesting to see if he does ever get back to form. But there were some people buying into his cards. There was a nice little spike that I saw on eBay in his prism, his optics, even some more rare stuff. There were people like spending a couple hundred dollars on Deshaun Watson cards. So there are some people out there that were trying to bet on him coming back and playing really well. But I expect them to totally cool off, you know, here until he proves otherwise.
It'll be interesting to see what happens because, I mean, still, like, obviously one of the five most talented quarterbacks over the last several years, still young. Really, if he can get his mind right and get past these off-the-field issues, which are not trivial by any means, it could be interesting to see what happens the rest of his career. I mean, we've seen – there is a blueprint for athletes coming back from, you know, horrible off the field issues. And so Michael Vick, not to compare the off the field issues, but, you know, Michael Vick had a couple phenomenal seasons, individual seasons in Philly after he came back from his issues. And so it'll be interesting to see if Deshaun Watson sort of finishes out the year average or below average from a performance standpoint, but keeps his head right off the field and does the right things off the field. It'll be interesting to see if his market does dip a little bit to where maybe there's a buy-in opportunity as the Browns season sort of peters out. And if he can come back in 2023, you know, there could be a lot of profit to be had on a guy like Deshaun Watson with that talent level. And then the other player I'm curious about is Jacoby Brissett, because he actually exceeded my expectations on the field this year and looked pretty good. I mean, there were a lot of late game Browns finishes that didn't go their way. And Jacoby Brissett in the right situation, again, he's still young. The NFL always has some kind of a quarterback carousel to where guy like Jacoby Brissett could land in the right spot potentially next year. And we could see him be a legitimate opportunity for sports card investors to profit as well. Have you thought about Jacoby Brissett recently with Deshaun Watson coming back? And do you see any opportunity for sports card investors to, is there upside to buy into him at all?
I would say there'd have to be a lot of like collection value there or personal collection value, because I do think he is a serviceable quarterback that probably get a starting job. You know, he did just fine. He actually aired the ball out quite a bit, and we had some pretty nice spike games from Amari Cooper and Donovan Peoples-Jones, and they definitely won in some interesting spots. And he did okay, like in terms of his QBR in his time this year, ranked 7th. So, you know, not bad, really. And they had a lot of drop passes and stuff. And he didn't really excel in one category. But I think that he did just fine overall. And I just, with his age, you know, being a 2016 rookie, you know, you have a little bit of collection value there. And like his first year optic from 2016 and the prism from 2016 has a high gem rate. But at the same time, he's not going to really drive a whole lot of FOMO or fear of missing out just because we know what to expect from him. And we know that he's never going to be like a franchise quarterback for a team. I just don't see that happening. I don't see people really going crazy, like thinking Jacoby Brissett's going to take a leap to becoming some Hall of Famer down the road. So I don't think people are really going to ever, you know, flock to eBay to buy his cards in a sense. So yeah, I don't really see a whole lot of long-term investment value there.
Okay. Sounds good. Well, I'll move on to my, my W of the week. So I have a personal W to share and a card W to share. And the personal one is I ran the Valencia Marathon yesterday. I did not get my personal record as I was hoping for, but I did complete the Valencia Marathon, my fifth career marathon, full marathon, and completed it in 4 hours. So very, very excited about that. Very excited to have another one in the books. And it was a fun day. Felt all the love from my my friends and family. And it was beautiful weather here. And we are moving back to the United States in less than 48 hours. We will be on a plane moving back to the United States. So a couple of personal wins. I'm very excited about both of those.
Isn't a marathon 24 miles? A 24 mile run?
It's 26.2 miles.
Wow.
And it is, if any of you have ever ran a marathon, let me know your experience in the comments. To me, it is the hardest mental challenge every single time I do it. And I always forget how hard it is. And I'm like cursing myself from mile 20 to 26. Like, why did I do this? And I just keep doing them. So I've done one each of the last 3 years. Actually, each of the last 4 years. And my first one was in 2005. And then I had a big drought from like 2005 to 2018. But anyway, they're super hard. And like the first half of it, you're kind of going on adrenaline and how happy everyone is and the crowd and everything. And then the second half just is absolute killer. So, but it's very rewarding. And I'm very grateful that my mind and body allow me to do it. So that's a good personal win. And then Chad Gill is chiming in here. Chad, good to see you. He needs a break driving 26 miles. I hear you, man. I hear you. It's you know, it's not easy. It's not easy driving 26 miles either. I haven't driven in a long time. I'm about to start driving more as I move back to the United States. So, all right. So my card win is actually not a personal win, but it's more of a prediction that I had. So over the last 7 days, Christian Pulisic's cards have exploded. And I did make the call on last week's show with Kendall. So actually there have been two USA men's national team games since our last show. One was when they beat Iran to make it past the group stage and into the round of 16, where they then subsequently lost against the Netherlands. So unfortunately, we're probably about to see Pulisic drop off a cliff here for a while until there's some more, either a transfer from him from Chelsea to another club, which could happen soon, or more international play beyond the World Cup. That obviously won't be for a while. There's going to be an international play break for a while after the World Cup doesn't even wrap up for another couple weeks. So the win of the week is that if you listen to me and you bought Pulisic's cards and then flipped Pulisic's cards after the win against Iran, where he had a game winning goal with his pelvic contusion, unfortunately. But he did help the USA win that game. And then his card prices have spiked up quite a bit. There may be more momentum through the World Cup for his cards. We'll have to see. But since the USA has been eliminated by the Netherlands, they were eliminated over the weekend, unfortunately. And I am anticipating the cards to drop off a cliff for him, though, because I would say most of that market is driven by Americans. And now that Americans probably will stop watching the World Cup, those Americans that aren't diehard soccer fans, of course, Kendall and many others will continue watching the World Cup. I'll probably tune in a little bit, but not as much as I was with the U.S. team in it. But to me, that is a win because, you know, every so often you have to make a bold prediction. I made a bold prediction with Pulisic. I thought he would score a goal against Iran. I thought the U.S. would win. Both of those things happened. So I have to brag on that a little bit because I'm not always right on my predictions. But, you know, I would love to hear from the audience if you were able to quick flip Pulisic. If you bought a Pulisic and you didn't flip it, I still think you're going to be fine because there is going to be a transfer window where he could go from Chelsea to another Premier League team, or even it's a Champions League team outside the Premier League, which would be good for him. He's got to get out of Chelsea so that he can be on the pitch in more Champions League play, in more Premier League play, to showcase what he can do. He's only 23 years old, and he's going to be the face of the U.S. men's national team heading into the 2026 World Cup in North America. So I really think that he's going to be a guy that I'm going to be looking to buy into at the right times over the next 4 years heading in to the 2026 World Cup. And I just wanted to give a shout out, of course, to not only my call, my win of the week, but to Christian Pulisic and the U.S. men's national team for a great run. Andy, I know you're not a big soccer fan or a soccer card investor by any means, but if you have anything to add on this, let me know. I don't know if you watched any of the games, thank you for sharing. You had, if you don't have anything to add on this, I know you shared a minute ago that you had a couple card wins with your Justin Jefferson sale. So if you have anything else to add on the win of the week segment, it's all you, man.
Yeah, man. So definitely a win of the week was Justin Jefferson. You know, the Vikings get a big win over the Jets in this game. Defense came up big at the end of the game. But at the same time, Justin Jefferson, a couple key contested catches. I mean, this guy has put up big performances against Buffalo, against the Jets in recent weeks. I mean, against the Patriots. So, I mean, it's just the Vikings right now are in the catbird seat in the NFC North. I mean, they're a 99% a chance to make the playoffs. And as a result, it's not just Justin Jefferson. It's also Kirk Cousins. And I feel like we've been beating the drum for him all season, and his cards are finally starting to heat up. Like, you know, his silver prism, or his base prism from 2012, because this is the first year that prism was made, is now up a considerable amount. And the thing is, you cannot find a PSA 10 on eBay because it only has a population of 33. So I was, you know, talking about buying raw. And so I have a stack of raw Kirk Cousins prisms. I did not submit them to PSA. I should have taken my own advice and submitted them to a PSA back in September, because I think you would have them back by now. You'd be ready for the playoffs. And I think there's going to be a lot of hype for Cousins, because I do think that they're going to at least advance to the first round. It's going to be very interesting, very difficult. The Cowboys obviously are big contenders, and they just smashed the Colts last night. Both offensively and defensively, they are really good. And then obviously the Eagles are the number one seed in the NFC. And, you know, so, but my big win has been Kirk Cousins and Justin Jefferson on the Minnesota Vikings offense.
Love that. I love both of those guys. I'm a big fan of both of those guys. I've followed Kirk Cousins since his career at MSU. So excited to see a fellow Michigan State Spartan doing well in the NFL, and happy for Kirk Cousins. And Justin Jefferson looks like, he just looks like an amazing talent. I don't know if he is going to be the best wide receiver of all time when it's all said and done, but I love his confidence. I love watching him play. Seems like a great guy. And, you know, a player that the NFL definitely needs right now. Definitely that catch he had against Buffalo a few weeks ago on 4th and 18 was the best catch I have ever seen in my life. Sorry to Odell Beckham Jr. fans, but I just really think that 4th and 18 catch was amazing. So love the Justin Jefferson call. I think, you know, we've talked about guys that you can buy and make money off of again and again and again. I don't think Kirk Cousins is that guy. I see a much smaller window with him, but I actually think Justin Jefferson is an example of that kind of guy where if you are a sports card investor, or, you know, you may have a PC, a lot of people have a PC, but then they also invest to try to support the PC. I would say if you're looking to make money and or invest to support the PC, Justin Jefferson is probably a guy that you're going to be able to buy low and sell high over and over and over and over again, just because of his ability to make something spectacular happen on a weekly basis or any given week. And if you're holding him at the right time, I think you're going to have multiple opportunities to sell for a profit. And as Andy knows, that's not always very common in football cards. So a lot of guys have like one moment and that's it, and you got to get rid of them. And I think Justin Jefferson is that rare skill position player, not a quarterback, who can actually hold value over the long term and have multiple opportunities to sell for a profit. So I really like that that's happening for you with Justin Jefferson. And all right, let's move on to buy of the week. So buy of the week is presented by marketmoversapp.com by Sports Card Investor. You can go to marketmoversapp.com and use your promo code NOOFFSEASON. Use the promo code NOOFFSEASON, all lowercase, to get your first month for only $1. And if you tried Market Movers a long time ago and didn't like the interface, they've redesigned it. It's all new in the last couple of months. And I'm really a fan. And not just because I have a partnership and write for Sports Card Investor, but I really, really do use this tool all the time. And I really like it. So let's go to the tool here. So they have the deals tab. And the thing I like about the deals tab is that if you're looking to buy a card low, what it'll do is it'll say, here's the buy it now price for this card, and here's the last sale, and here, and so it'll give you like a profit margin compared to the current price. And so when I look at this tool, I see a guy like Amon-Ra St. Brown, who I'm a huge fan of. I think Amon-Ra could be like a Justin Jefferson light in the regards that I just talked about, where he could be a guy that he can do something amazing on any given Sunday. And as a result, you can profit from his cards. The Lions, while they've been an abysmal franchise, are looking like they could be on the up and up, especially due to a guy like Amon-Ra St. Brown being a stud. So, you know, here you have his 2021 select field level silver rookie card, buy it now price of $22.50. This seller does not accept offers, but the last sale of this card was $40, and it was within the last 24 hours. So you can buy one that was $17.50 less, and you could even flip it right away to make somewhere around a $15 to $20 profit. So using the deals tab on marketmoversapp.com is a good strategy. So that's a American football buy of the week for me. I'll share one more, and then I'll let Andy chime in if he has any comments on this, or if he wants to share any buys that he's executing these days. But Erling Haaland is a footballer, international footballer, who is not playing in the World Cup. And I've mentioned this several times on other platforms and in other shows, but I really, really think it bears mentioning yet again. At nooffseason.com, as part of our sports card investment report, we have been tracking the data of about 200 cards, one of them being Erling Haaland's 2019 Panini Fußball Bundesliga rookie sticker. And just as I thought would happen during the World Cup, this number one footballer in the world, massive player who is having a massive season for Manchester City, his card prices are dropping because he is not in the World Cup. So this particular card has dropped in price. You can see the sales data if you upgrade to our premium package at nooffseason.com. And the recent sales of his PSA 10 version of this sticker are down significantly compared to where they were at the beginning of the Premier League season when he was dominating. Here's a sale on Halloween. Here's a sale on November 4th. These are his PSA 10s of this sticker for upwards of $2,100. Now, the PSA 10 of this sticker just within the last 24 hours sold for just over $1,000. The PSA 9 is down quite a bit as well, $185 in the last 24 hours. So because he's not in the World Cup, his prices have dropped. And if you're astute investor and astute soccer card collector, now is a great time to go buy his cards, because as soon as the World Cup's over, this guy's going to be back on top. Manchester City, he's going to have a record-breaking goal season in the Premier League, and Manchester City's going to be competing for everything that there is to compete for in all of soccer after the World Cup this season. So I think Erling Haaland is a great buy right now. The data agrees with me. And Andy, what do you think of who are you buying, and what do you think of Amon-Ra St. Brown?
Well, I think Amon-Ra St. Brown is incredible. We know he's like one of the hardest, if not the hardest working wide receivers out of his draft class. And especially, you know, on the Lions. I mean, the guy's got incredible work ethic. He knows every single guy that was drafted ahead of him. So he's got this incredible chip on his shoulder as well. He's mostly a slot receiver, but I mean, he gets there through volume. He had 2 touchdowns this past week. And right now, the Detroit Lions have won 4 out of their last 5 games, and their defense is playing better. And they're actually playing, they're actually surprising a lot of people. They just absolutely stomped the Jacksonville Jaguars yesterday. And I don't know, they're a very interesting situation. They just got their star rookie first rounder, Jameson Williams, back yesterday. They've got DJ Chark healthy. So they've got one of the best offensive lines in the league. So you get Goff time in the pocket, and, you know, he can do some pretty impressive stuff. They're a very long shot to make the playoffs. So Amon-Ra St. Brown, I think he's a guy that's going to be a household name for many years to come. And, you know, this the Jameson Williams and the DJ Charks are going to take a little bit of pressure off of him, and he's going to still get a ton of volume in that offense that he can, you know, execute at a high level. So like that play. I would say my buy of the week has got to be Tyler Huntley, backup quarterback that stepped in for injured Lamar Jackson. Lamar Jackson left yesterday's game early against the Broncos with a knee injury. Tyler Huntley steps in, and Tyler Huntley is pretty much a Lamar Jackson lookalike. not just like in terms of looks and physical stature and everything, but he plays a very, very similar game style Lamar Jackson. He's a very mobile, gets the ball out quick. I actually think Tyler Huntley is pretty much just as good as Lamar, maybe not as good of a runner. So I won't say that, because I know I'll get crucified if I say that Tyler Huntley is as good of a runner as Lamar Jackson, but Tyler Huntley is good, man. And the thing is, he was undrafted out of 2020. So he has very few rookie cards. So it makes your decision really easy. It's basically rookie ticket auto or some, you know, unlicensed college, you know, type of product. Like from Sage or Wildcard. And so it makes your decision super easy. And was it last year or the year before, when Lamar missed a few games and Tyler Huntley stepped in, he led him to a couple wins. I mean, he led a final drive all the way down the field yesterday in a game that was, you know, 9-3. And in the final drive of the game, the last minute of the game, and runs in a touchdown to win the game against the Denver Broncos. Quite incredibly incredible late game heroics. And that's what this guy's made of. And I think we can see his cards. The Baltimore Ravens has such an easy schedule, 91% chance to make the playoffs. I think that you could see Lamar Jackson miss a few more games and Tyler Huntley's values continue to climb, and they climb quite easily because he has so few rookie cards.
Yeah, that's a great call. I like that. And Lamar just hasn't been performing very well the last few weeks. It's almost like I'm actually relieved that Lamar got hurt yesterday, because I have him in a couple fantasy leagues. And I also have Tua on the bench, and I have Geno Smith on the bench, and I've been leaving Geno and Tua on the bench in lieu of Lamar, just because I just don't feel right about benching Lamar. And now the decision's easier for me as a fantasy owner. I'm putting in Tua. I don't know. I'm kind of relieved. And it also opens up that opportunity for the buying the Tyler Huntley cards. Like you said, you know, I do feel bad for anyone who has held Lamar Jackson throughout this season. He was a guy that I really, really encourage the audience of this show and all the readers of nooffseason.com to sell in September, just because there was a big buildup for him. I think there was a lot of momentum for him having a comeback season, and it's just not as easy as everyone kind of makes it out to be to actually finish an entire NFL season. I mean, it's very, very hard to perform at a high level, even when you're a Josh Allen, a Lamar Jackson, and Tom Brady. I mean, these guys, everyone's going to have down weeks, and then everyone's going to get injured. So that's why, you know, selling a guy like Lamar Jackson back in September, October was definitely the move. I feel bad for anybody who's still kind of holding him, although he is still Lamar Jackson. He will have the name recognition heading into next year. There's going to be an opportunity to, he could even come back, and, you know, this year's not over yet. He could even come back, you know, later on for a playoff run. We don't know yet. So we'll see the severity of his injury and how the rest of Baltimore's season shakes out. Sure, there will be, worst case scenario, some offseason opportunities to sell Lamar at a profit for those of you who are holding his cards right now. But all right, let's take a quick question before I get into my sell of the week, and then we'll talk to Andy about his sell of the week. Chad Gill says, as a Rodgers hater, he's talking to me, as a Rodgers hater, are you ready to buy Love cards? I'm not, just because I don't really invest in guys who could totally be flashes in the pan. But Andy, are you investing in Jordan Love?
Well, I'm not. I've got a few Jordan Love rated rookie. He's got such an interesting storyline, especially in the hobby, because he's been one of those guys that the hobby has definitely flocked to on a couple occasions, you know, back in 2020. And then again in 2021, when there are speculations Rodgers may retire and become a Jeopardy game show host or something. And, and not this week, but the week prior, when Rodgers had to lead the game early, Jordan Love came in and did everything right. They were just one step behind of the Philadelphia Eagles, who are an absolute powerhouse. And but otherwise, I mean, he played incredible. He looked great. And so there was a considerable spike in Jordan Love cards, and that since cooled off because Rodgers said, I'm playing the Bears. This is my team that I own. You know, he's very outspoken about how he owns the Bears, and they went out and they own the Bears once again this past Sunday. And I think Jordan Love cards are going to cool right back down and go back down to a baseline. I think he makes for a solid stash. I mean, this guy is very competitive. And you know, when you have only little sample size of guys, if the sample most recently is very good, that's what people are going to hang their hat on. That's what they're going to remember, and that's what they're going to buy into. So if there ever is a start out, especially coming into his Jordan Love's contract year, this upcoming year, I do think there is some opportunity there. I mean, I know Rodgers probably got 2 or 3 years left, so they probably want to extend Jordan Love, I imagine, but it makes for a very interesting storyline that I think will have plenty of opportunities to buy super low into. And I don't think the Packers are going to make the playoffs. There's a long shot for them, but it's going to be tough.
Yeah, I do like, I do buy into the hype around buying Jordan Love's cards. I think it's a little too close for me after I do agree that he played really well. I think that there's a possibility that he could be the next guy in Green Bay after Rodgers finally does move on, whenever that's going to be. I don't know. I think that's kind of what I'm a little bit worried about, is like, when is Rodgers going to move on finally? And if and when he does move on, is Jordan Love even going to be there? I feel like ideally it would be as simple as Jordan Love's the next guy in Green Bay for sure. he just doesn't have as much draft capital, as high draft capital as some of the other guys that I would rather buy into. I mean, I hate to say it, but I would almost rather buy into like a Trey Lance than a Jordan Love, just because, you know, we had Jimmy Garoppolo go down. That situation is going to be up in the air. I think that, like, let's put it this way. I like the idea of buying Jordan Love. I'm going to monitor that big time. I'm going to post more about it on No Offseason. Chad and everybody, I'm not saying don't buy Jordan Love. I'm just saying personally, I'm not yet, just because I want to see more evidence that he would potentially be the guy either in Green Bay or somewhere else. And I want to also see like what else shakes out within the NFL, like a Trey Lance situation, because we all only have so much money. I only have so much money. So personally, I'm just kind of holding off on a play like that for now. It's not to say I might not make one later. I'm also interested in like, where does a CJ Stroud end up? Where does a Bryce Young, where does a Will Levis end up? This next incoming quarterback class appears to be very, very strong. Caleb Williams, as does the next one with Shedeur Sanders in 2024. So I think that's also why I'm a little bit hesitant to, you know, buy into a backup quarterback right now. And that's why I wanted to get Andy's take earlier on Jacoby Brissett. And that's actually a perfect segue into my sell of the week, because this one might seem a little bit weird, but I was looking at marketmoversapp.com before the show, and I noticed some Marcus Mariota cards were up in value. And I'm just wondering, like, how much longer does Marcus Mariota stick around for a Falcons team that's now 5-8? I mean, he's somebody who I didn't think would last long at all as the starter in Atlanta. I thought they'd move on to Desmond Ridder sooner, because he's just more on a timeline like a guy like Drake London and Kyle Pitts. But I mean, Atlanta has been competitive this year, but now with another loss, it's looking like maybe they're not going to make the playoffs. Do you sell Marcus Mariota now? I'm feeling like you kind of do.
Oh, absolutely. Absolutely. I've been trying to sell Marcus Mariota since September and made a couple decent sales. Surprisingly, the Marcus Mariota Oregon Prism draft pick stuff and college uniform stuff does quite well. I think that's just because of his run at Oregon, and he's got a lot of fans from his days at Oregon. So I think his college career is way more impressive than his NFL career. And because of that, his college stuff has, you know, a lot of collectability and a lot of hype. So yeah, I would sell him at will, because, you know, I think the reason why they haven't benched him yet, even though he is a pretty terrible passer, like, just, he's just bad, and they don't throw the ball much. So they've been really keeping it close to the ground, and running the ball a ton, one of the highest running, if not the highest running teams in the league. But they're still in playoff contention because the NFC South is just a total dumpster fire this year. And they're still in the running, believe it or not. Even at a 5-8 record, they're not out of it yet. So we'll see what happens tonight between the Saints and Tampa Bay Buccaneers on Monday Night Football. Is a critical matchup, but yeah, I think you capitalize on this current starting job that he has, because I do see once they get out of the playoffs, they gave Desmond Ridder a lot of playing time in preseason to get him ready for NFL action, to see what they've got in him. So I suspect if they lose another game or two and they really fall out of the playoff race, that at that point Mariota gets benched and they give it to Desmond Ridder for the rest of the season to see what they've got in him.
Yeah, like, sell Mariota. I mean, it's funny because Andy says, like, I've been trying to sell Mariota. So maybe it's, like, easier said than done when I say sell Mariota. But sell him now, because they're gonna shut him down. He's going to, you know, the Falcons don't look like they're going to make the playoffs. You got four teams in the NFC East that could all make the playoffs, which means, like, only one from the NFC South. And the other divisions are going to make it. So and Mariota is probably, this is the fact that he even had a shot this year as a starter sort of gave everybody one last chance to offload his cards, unless you are a Marcus Mariota collector, in which case I don't fault you for holding on if he's your PC. But I heard real quick before we move on, and if you have anyone that you recommend people sell now, let us know. But real quick, I heard something. I was watching an NFL Red Zone yesterday, and somebody said something about, like, soon-to-be Hall of Famer Cordarrelle Patterson. Actually, I think Nate Burleson said that on the CBS pregame show. And I thought, Cordarrelle Patterson, for sure Hall of Famer. I mean, I know he's got the career record for kickoff returns for a touchdown, but is he really going to be a Hall of Famer?
I think it's quite possible just because of what he has done on special teams. And actually, if you look at his Hall of Fame probability, he's pretty high up on the list, believe it or not. So, I mean, I think it's definitely a possibility, but I don't think he's a lock or anything like that. So he was probably, you know, just kind of talking him up, but you know, it's the guy is prolific. And the thing is, he could still play a few more years just because of the way his career is kind of shaped up. So it's a very interesting career that he's had. And I do think it's completely unique, outside of any other player. And I think there's a good chance that he gets into the Hall of Fame because of that.
Yeah, that's a good point. I mean, I could see it. I just thought, like, when Nate Burleson said surefire Hall of Famer, I was thinking, really? Cordarrelle Patterson? I mean, so I think that could be an interesting, you know, I haven't looked at his card market, but because of all the reasons you mentioned, there could be an interesting play there if and when he, you know, he is eligible for the Hall of Fame. So, although we don't really see Hall of Fame bumps as much anymore as we used to, but do you have anyone you recommend or that you're selling or that anyone that you recommend that the audience sell now, Andy?
Yeah, absolutely. Real quick, back on Cordarrelle Patterson. So I pulled up Pro Football Reference Hall of Fame probability. And if you look at their chart, he is right next to Davante Adams in terms of Hall of Fame probability. To kind of put it into perspective there for you, he's had 4 all pros. So, I mean, there's definitely a possibility that he gets in.
Yeah. Interesting.
My sell of the week, I would say capitalize on the performance spikes that we see from the Las Vegas Raiders players. I would say right now, I would say this is a good time. You could sell Josh Jacobs. I'd be focusing on primarily selling him first because he's a running back and he's just had, you know, this RB1 season with his bell cow role that's evolved and he's been putting up some crazy fantasy points. And as a result, I've seen his card market. I'm sure that you can pull the data up in Market Movers, but his graded market is up like 30, 40% on all of his most popular cards, whether it's the field level silver, or the prism or optic. And then, you know, so I would take advantage of that. I would take advantage of that because I've seen across the board, he's got a lot of hype and you could sell those. And he's in a contract year. This is a contract year. So Davante Adams is another guy you could easily sell right now for profit just because they are really hitting the groove and he's putting up these monster mega performances on a weekly basis. And the thing is, I just don't see the Raiders making the playoffs. There's a long shot. Like there's a small chance, 11% chance, but it's slim. The schedule's tough. Their defense is absolutely atrocious. And I just do not see them making the playoffs. So I would actually say sell those Raiders guys. And I would say if you're holding some Justin Herbert stuff, I mean, you know, long-term, yeah, you can hold on to it because I think he's a great long-term asset to have. But at the same time, you know, we talk about these ebbs and flows. And I do think as the Chargers miss the playoffs here, I think they're going to miss the playoffs. And I think that his market's going to dip significantly, and it could pick back up next April. Like say they draft a top wide receiver in the draft because they really need wide receiver depth on their roster. They need to build some more in the trenches, and the defense turned out to be really bad this year, even though they had some great personnel, just some of them totally busted or got injured. So, you know, the defense kind of fell apart. So I think that the Justin Herbert market is going to dip. At the same time, you have Burrow, Jalen Hurts, and Tua ascending, right? So I think that I still see like these crazy high prices on Justin Herbert cards. And I think that is going to change as he's like becoming, you know, more of a human. He's not so like, you know, looked at as this, you know, hobby god kind of, so to speak. People just kind of spent crazy money on him. So I think you take advantage of that now and sell and maybe look to buy back in like during the playoffs when, you know, the focus is on all those other 2020 guys.
Yeah. I love that strategy. That's phenomenal. And I wonder if you know, I just kind of wonder like what happens with guys like Jalen Hurts. You know, he's on top of the world right now, 11-1. You even got like Dallas Cowboys players, you know, kind of flying high right now at 9-3. And you know, we spoke about the Minnesota Vikings earlier in the show. They're at 10-2. We both feel really, really good about Cousins and Jefferson, but are there guys that are on, say, Philly, Dallas? I won't put KC in that conversation just because I personally believe that they're going to make it, you know, as far as anybody makes it this year. Are there guys, I guess, specifically on those teams that I mentioned that you would sell now, like Jalen Hurts or anyone on the Cowboys, like Micah Parsons? You know, should sports card investors be capitalizing on how high they're flying right now, or are they for real, and are they going to make it to the big game?
Yeah, I think you have to ask yourself, how much money is this one card occupying as a portion of my bankroll? Like, if you are holding a big card and it's occupying a pretty big portion of your bankroll, and the guy's incredibly hyped up, I think this is your opportunity. I think you cash out and you put all that money back in your bankroll, and you look to kind of buy low into other guys. And right now, I'm seeing three different windows that you can buy into. So you can either buy into a window that turns around and flips a card in the next 60 days in the playoffs, and or you could buy into a player and their card that you turn around and sell next March and April throughout the free agency and draft hype cycle. And then there's like an 8-month window of guys that you're targeting that are going to be hyped up in August, September of next year, right before the season starts. So like Trey Lance would be in that 8-month window. Maybe Nico Collins or one of the wide receivers, John Mechie on the Houston Texans, would be in that 180-day window, like because the Texans are the clear front runner to get the number one overall pick, which means Bryce Young from Alabama goes to the Houston Texans, reunited with one of his college wide receivers in John Mechie, plus another incredible talent, Nico Collins, that are still on their rookie contract. So you could kind of play that, or you can target variants on super hyped up guys now and sell them here in the next 60 days. But if the guy is super hyped up right now and you bought in earlier in the season on a dip like Dak Prescott through his injury woes, or even like if you bought into Jalen Hurts on his down week whenever they lost to the Commanders on that Monday night game, I mean, you could have bought into some Jalen Hurts like at like a, you know, 30% discount, and I think his cards are going to continue to climb here throughout the playoffs. So I would be selling at will if that was occupying a large portion of my bankroll.
Great stuff. Let us know if you guys have any questions in the comments on any of this, but great stuff by Andy. So I got a couple questions from the audience before we sign off for today. So one is from Matt Esterman or Easterman. Sorry, Matt. Not sure how to pronounce your last name, but Matt Esterman asks about pop counts. So he says, at what point does a high pop count start to deter you from buying or impact a price? He says, I'm sure this may be different based on card type, sport, player, and/or card year. Thanks in advance. And I thought this would be a good question to ask you, Andy, because you know, I do think it depends to a certain extent on the card and on the player. But to me, while pop count plays a significant role in the long-term value of a card, it doesn't play a role, in my opinion, as much in the 12-month window of the value of a card. And so, because I'm pretty much constantly flipping in a 12-month window or even shorter than that, I personally don't really pay attention to the, I don't look, when I go buy a card, I don't look at the pop count because I'm looking at the window of like, okay, what's the path to profit within the next 6 to 8 months? And pop count's just going to really be so fluid in that time frame anyway for the ultra modern guys that I don't really pay that much attention to it with my buying decisions. Now, do I pay attention to pop count with my recommendations on nooffseason.com for long-term investments, especially like more like older cards for the modern investor? Absolutely. But what's your take on Matt's question?
Yeah, that's a really interesting one, because I think it does depend on the player and the card. Like, for example, 2021 pop count is still growing. Like, there's stuff coming back for Justin Fields, Mac Jones, Trevor Lawrence, that kind of stuff that is growing their pop count. So the chart is becoming more reliable. When the pop count of a card is very low, and at the same time, the card is very young, like it just came out within the last couple months, the chart, you know, showing how the price changes in that card is unreliable because the pop count is still growing and that player is so young, the card's so young. But as the card gets older, I think you can use the pop count to just help you discern what the gem rate of a card is. I like to use it more as a indicator of how high a gem rate is on a card. So I'll look at the pop count between the 10 and the 9 and the 8. And do a quick math formula to look at what the percentage of that card came out as a 10 versus a 9. And if it's above 50%, then I think there's a nice opportunity there for you to get a nice raw card graded and get it a 10, kind of like we talked with Kirk Cousins. You know, I don't see the pop count really growing as much. Even going back to 2019, 2018 and looking at like Lamar, Kyler, Josh Allen, Patrick Mahomes, their pop counts aren't changing drastically on a month-to-month basis. So it's really reliable. And then the pop counts in football are generally like way lower than what they are in basketball. Like if you were to compare the Zion Williamson or Ja Morant pop count to one of the top, you know, football players from that draft class on their most popular cards, like the Prism or the Optic or the Base Donruss, the pop count is still so much lower in football. But yet it's just as popular. I think football has even taken over basketball. So I'm not using the pop count as much as like getting scared off of a card whenever it gets high on football. I'm more using it to discern like what gem rates are, and then just like the higher the pop count is, I actually like that, because the highest pop count I've seen is like Josh Allen's based honors or Patrick Mahomes based honors or Optic, and they're like 4,000. You know, that's like the highest pop count you really see in football. So that doesn't really bother me at all, because at any time you could only have a few of those on eBay. And it's not like the 20,000-30,000 pop counts you see in basketball.
Yeah, I love that you said that, because I think that like if I'm going to go buy a PSA 7 or a PSA 8 of say an F1 driver from 2020, that's going to seem a little disappointing, and I'm going to want to know like, is that a good investment? And then if I understand what the gem rate of that card is, maybe it is a good investment. And so by gem rate, basically what we mean is like how many cards gemmed out of all the cards that were graded by a particular company. So if it's a low gem rate, you might be fine buying a PSA 8 or a PSA 9. If it's a higher gem rate, you probably want to find a 10 somewhere. With Kirk Cousins only being a pop 33 of his rookie Prism, that doesn't mean much for a lot of reasons, but it's interesting. It's interesting to use that data in terms of like the percentage of cards that were graded of Kirk Cousins. Cause if you said there were 10,000 Kirk Cousin card graded and there's only pop 33, I'd be like, wow, that's okay. Now it means something. But if there were 100 Kirk Cousins cards graded with a gem rate of 33, then that doesn't mean as much, because a lot of people just didn't send in their Kirk Cousins cards to get graded. So that pop count, especially with the way that he's performed this year, could continue to grow. So one more question for you, Andy, on today's show, and it's related to Tom Brady cards. Scott Fuque asks, basically, I'm going to read a little bit of his question, but I'm going to give you the gist of it. He's talking about Tom Brady cards, and he and I went back and forth on which Tom Brady cards make the most sense to invest in. And I said, well, the ones that I have listed at nooffseason.com for Tom Brady's profile are the ones that I'm really focused on. And they're not all rookie cards. Some of them are non-rookie cards that I think make a lot of sense. Like his, he has two 2021 Kaboom cards, one in a Bucks uniform, one in a Patriots uniform. I think cards like that make a lot of sense. And if you want to check that out, you can get a free year premium at nooffseason.com. Just email me at paul@nooffseason.com to find out how. But basically, Scott came back and he's asking, what about just Tom Brady base PSA 10s from his non-rookie year? He's basically saying, can I spend like $150 to, you know, ish on a Tom Brady card, can I expect like his 2008 base prism PSA 10 to grow over time, maybe to 200? That's the gist of the question. So Andy, do you know of or see opportunities specifically for Tom Brady cards in PSA 10 that aren't his rookie year card that are more in that $100 to $200 price range that you would advise people pick up? Or is that just kind of an overall risk?
It definitely is an overall risk. It just because, I mean, yeah, he is the GOAT. Right now, his market is down based on the hyper-relevancy of his recent performances and just how the Bucks are playing overall. So there's definitely a big dip. And there was a guy, I think his name is Gurus Collectibles or something like that on Twitter, that pointed out the value in the base prism from 2012 of Tom Brady. PSA 10 had dropped a lot in value from 2020. Like, that card had actually gotten up to several thousand dollars in 2020 during like that modern sports card boom. And the value has come all the way down now to just a couple hundred, something like that. And, you know, obviously it's Tom Brady. He's got this massive market and fan base, and people do like to collect rare cards of Tom Brady from any year. It doesn't matter. Like you pointed out, the Kaboom. Yeah, people love to get Tom Brady Kabooms, Joe Montana Kabooms, and these Kabooms of these legendary players. And I don't think that's ever going to change. And if you are buying a base veteran card, yeah, it better be in PSA 10 condition, because that's kind of like the differentiating factor that's kind of help, you know, buoy that value. But, you know, I don't really see that taking a big step up like in value or, you know, in demand over the long run, honestly, unless it's, I would say I'd still target like the double whammy effect, like a rare card also in a high grade, you know, in his veteran stuff, even Tampa Bay stuff, especially because it doesn't have as big of a market as his New England stuff. So yeah, it's kind of where I'm leaning towards on that, Paul.
Yeah, I agree with you. I think like there's a reason. What I've learned over the last few years is that there's a reason why things are priced the way that they're priced. And it is almost too good to be true. Like, just because it's Tom Brady, just because it's a PSA 10, it's $100. Don't think, oh, this is only $100. I can afford this. This is going to go up in value. Not necessarily. Probably not. You're going to be able to sell it, but I don't know if you're going to be able to sell it for a profit, Scott. So thanks for your question. I mean, one other thought on this is, like, you know, if you want to really test this theory, like, buy one and then take it to a card show and shop it around to all the dealers and just look at their reaction. And then that reaction should probably give you some kind of indicator as to whether or not this card could go up in value in the future. Because those are the men and women that are gonna be thinking, like, can I resell this for a profit later? And so if you walk up with a 2008 Tom Brady base PSA 10 and shop it around at a card show, see what the reaction is, and that'll give you some kind of indicator.
Yeah, I'd want to get that card for like 20, 30 bucks, and I'd feel good about it. And I'd feel like I'd have potential. Maybe somebody would buy it from me on a whim for 60, you know, and that's kind of where I see that card. Because he's becoming vintage, he's going to become vintage sooner rather than later. And I think that, you know, hopefully he has a playoff run and people that are want to kind of cash out at Tom Brady's peak can do so, because once he becomes vintage, he's no longer playing, his market is going to continue to fall, and it's going to start on his veteran stuff first, especially the base stuff. And then the rare stuff will be fine. You know, his rookie graded market will kind of slowly decline, like it has across the course of this season.
Yep. He's going to become like, he's going to have less and less markers. I mean, this is his really last chance to have a significant spike in value, and he's got to take the Bucks to the Super Bowl. So I hope for your sake as a Bucks fan that he does that. But if he doesn't, then I think this is probably his last hurrah from a card spike standpoint. You already got baked in Hall of Famer, baked in GOAT. I mean, everything's baked in, I would think. So he's got to do something that people don't expect him to do for his cards to spike. He's got to do something positive that people don't expect him to do for his cards to spike. So we'll see what happens. But yeah, I think we're in alignment there for Scott on his question. And everybody, let us know what you thought of the show in the comments. If you have any questions, we'll get back to you. Andy, do you have anything else you want to add for today's show?
Yeah, just going back to that PSA 10 population conversation. So a good card to look at, a prime example of this, is go look at the 2021 Base Prism Trevor Lawrence. The PSA 10 has only a population of 95, and that is not that is an accurate number. That's not a mistake. And his PSA 9 population has a population of 576. So there's an incredibly low gem rate on that Trevor Lawrence card. And you'll see as a result, the card value stays kind of high because of the pop 95, and it's really hard to get a 10 grade. So just go look at that and then compare it to Mac Jones, Justin Fields, and Trey Lance. And it'll blow your mind because their pop count, their gem rate on their base prism is like 60%. And Trevor Lawrence is what, like 10% for that card. So that's how I use pop counts to tell me whether there's certain issues. So like, I'm not buying raw base prism Trevor Lawrence cards with any hopes to get them graded, because I know based on looking at the pop counts, it's going to be nearly impossible.
And that, my friends, is why you should listen to and watch the Sports Card Strategy Show. Andy, thanks so much for saving me today in absence of Kendall. And we'd love to have you on anytime. And of course, we'll line up a football card strategy show shortly. Once I get my schedule straight after moving back to the States, we'll get something on the calendar and have you back on. But thanks as always, my man. Really appreciate it.
Yes, sir. Safe travels. I'll see you soon, Paul.
Sounds good. Everybody, thanks so much for watching and listening. Have a great day. And if Kendall were here, he would definitely say cue the rock music. So here we go.
Cue the rock music.